Good morning, 738 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And what's that, Reese? What'd you say? Can't say it. All right. Joining me in studio, we have Commander Andrew Hobbs with the Scambia County Sheriff's Office joining me today. Andrew, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Always good to have you, sir. Let's start with this. We had reports of a drive-by on Medford Avenue and Bristol Avenue, Montclair kind of area, a couple of days ago. Do we know anything at this point?
Yeah, our officers got there. The deputies got there quickly. Started talking to, we were only to find one witness. The witness pointed out a vehicle. We pulled that vehicle over. Of course, nothing was in the vehicle. There was no guns. The gentleman that was inside said he didn't know anything about it. So we're continuing to investigate. Sadly, in a lot of these situations where we have these shootings in some neighborhoods, people are not always forthcoming. And so we're just asking the community, if you have, you know, Ring cameras or anything else, if you see anything, give us a call. And you can stay anonymous if you're worried about retaliation or anything like that. We just need a little help.
So I'm going to ask you a question. I'll probably get criticized for asking, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I know in my neighborhood, relatively middle-class, upper-middle-class neighborhood, a lot of people have security cameras. A lot of people have Ring doorbells. When you're in neighborhoods that are more lower income, more maybe crime prone, is it as common? Are home security and Ring doorbells as common or common enough in those areas where you would expect to be able to find evidence the way I know in my neighborhood? If something happens, somebody's got it on video, almost certainly.
Yeah, you have Ring cameras and systems. They're very inexpensive nowadays. Mm-hmm. And some of these neighborhoods, there's an amount of crime that they need to have that. They don't want their cars broken into. They want to have
sure.
Things like that. Or for other behaviors that they want to know who's coming up at their house. So, there is cameras in some of these neighborhoods, but because of the concern of retaliation, or maybe in some cases the mistrust of law enforcement, or if they just don't want to get involved, in some situations we don't get the assistance of the community that we would like.
So they don't want to give you the video because they're worried it's going to be obvious it came from their house and then they're going to get retaliated against.
Correct. Even though we don't have to release videos that you see on our social media sites and things like that, we get a waiver signed by the owners. We don't just release videos just to release them. Mm-hmm. So when we do that, it's with the permission of the owner. So if the owner doesn't give permission to release that video never sees anywhere else.
So that would be a case of somebody might be willing to give you the video for your internal purposes so you know who you're looking for, but you don't publicize it, so the fact that it was connected to that would never come out. Sort of a, not quite Crime Stoppers, but along the lines of protecting people from that concern.
Correct, yeah. It's to help people come forward, because we understand that if you live in this neighborhood and you know the person who's doing some of these drive-bys and they know you, that could be some issues and concerns, and we want to alleviate that. We never want there to be a wall between the community and the sheriff's office and that partnership, because we need that partnership.
Yeah. You had another story, I guess, within the last day or two of a woman. The call was for a woman getting dragged into the woods or something.
Yeah, we sadly get quite a bit of calls for things like this. You know, you'll get calls, people argue on the side of the road. In this situation, it was we got calls from neighbors. Mm-hmm. Neighbors being open and calling the sheriff's office, said, hey, they saw a woman being dragged into a wooded area. When we get there, we locate a 30-year-old Joseph Kimbrough. He was in a domestic relationship with the victim, and he was dragging her through the woods and towards their residence against her will. So he was charged with battery, kidnapping, false imprisonment, and other crimes. But again, that's a prime example that who knows what would have happened if the community wouldn't have called us.
Yeah.
with that young lady. And you know, we talk about nonprofit organizations that help in those situations, you know, like Favor House, Gulf Coast Kids House. Those organizations help people that are in those situations, because sometimes they don't feel like there's anywhere else to go, you know?
Right, yeah. And I mean, I still am amazed at how many things, like where you guys get cooperation and then where you don't, you know, because so much of the time we hear that is just this tip or just this thing. And, you know, like a year ago, there was some fugitive in our neighborhood kind of thing. And, you know, I immediately called you know, chief lighter basically. And it's mm-hmm. like, hey, we know something. You know, we can help, and that's what you guys depend on. We're talking to Commander Andrew Hobbs here on News Radio 92.3. You guys recently did a bulldozing of a house, which I discovered that you have a special vehicle that you use for this. Tell me what happened here, because this is actually a unit that you work with, right?
Yeah. The Neighborhood Engagement, the Community Services Division, works with code enforcement. I have to give a lot of praise to code enforcement. They have, when you go and talk to them, the amount of open cases they have that they're working is amazing. But we were partnering with them on a situation in Navy Point where we've had a house, for no exaggeration, the last 4 or 5 years that has been a problem. It has been a beacon of drug usage, mm-hmm. Burglaries in that community. It was a home that was left to another person that's in prison. And so this person who's in prison's friends were utilizing this house. It had no power. It had no water. It was dilapidated. I saw the comments on Facebook like, well, you could have given it to somebody else. This house was unlivable. Mm-hmm. It took a bulldozer about an hour and 45 minutes to completely get rid of it. So it was in a condition, and it was an area that was allowing crimes to be committed and victimize the people of Navy Point. So working with code enforcement and them going through their process, we were able to get a court order to bulldoze that. The owner still owns that property. They don't own that house. That house is gone. That house was unlivable. It had stacked up with code enforcement violations. There was rats. I mean, it was out of control. And, you know, when I see those comments on social media that we had a great positive outreach, I mean, a lot of people thought it was great. But
I'm sure the residents were thrilled.
Yeah, the Navy Point community is a tight-knit community. Yep. They are amazing. They are working hard to keep their community nice. And there's some of those issues from Ivan. That was one of those houses that were still there from Ivan that was damaged in Ivan. The person who owned it passed away, gives it to a family member. Family member's in prison. You know, it was just a perfect storm. But sadly, there's houses like that in every community. So we utilized this time with code enforcement to do some SWAT training. And that's what the first portion of it was. We don't get a lot of options to blow doors and use the the Rook is what you were talking about. The Rook is a, for anybody who hasn't seen it, the Rook is an armored Bobcat pretty much with ballistic glass. And it has different attachments. And one of them is a ram that is a piston-driven ram that can open doors. There's another one that has the front where it's a larger platform that's bulletproof, of course. So SWAT operators can go to a front door, make contact with people, things like that, without being shot.
Okay, so it's not... Not only a construction dozer, but it's as you say, it's a useful item for the SWAT team to use in conjunction with whatever breaches that they're conducting, or if they need to, that they can go up safely to the front door.
Yeah, that's what it's for. Yeah. The Rook is The Rook can also destroy things. It can it has claws. It does a lot of different things.
I guarantee you that people who saw this story, there were a lot of people who said, "We have a house in my neighborhood. Where do we sign up?"
Yeah. I need to give a shout out to Ronnie Rivera. He worked with the community, Navy Point. He also worked with code enforcement again. I cannot say enough about the county and their partnership with us dealing with these problem homes. If you have an issue in your community, contact the sheriff's office, ask to speak to Ronnie Rivera, Delarian Wiggins, myself, David Craig, Lieutenant Patrick Frazier, and we take steps. This has been a process. And we will address those areas. We get a list of them and we start handling them. We're dealing with another one in Bayou Davenport, another one on Marino Street, and we're working them as they come. And we're working with code enforcement again. Code enforcement's work level is out of this world, and they're killing it. I can't say enough for them, and appreciate their partnership in allowing the county, or for the county allowing them to partner with us.
No,
because
that's great.
Really helps a community, because you're taking out a part, you know,
it's the base of operations.
Correct.
I mean, yeah, it's you got to go get the bad guys where the bad guys are, and if you can make it so they don't have a place to operate from, then you're depriving them of, I mean, operational capability. Is from
correct. You can't arrest yourself out of that problem, but if you remove their beacon of crime,
right,
you can do some things.
Let's end on what I think is a very cool story. It's all over your Facebook page, about 140 shares. Y'all rescued some kittens. Tell me what they were. Where were they, and how did you get them rescued?
Lacey Oden, who is our our crime scene supervisor, she located a cat. She discovered a cat was underneath her vehicle. A kitten, Bolt is what we called him. And they tried to use a lot of different ways to try to get this kitten out from out underneath the car. They used a fresh fillet of fish for 30 minutes, and that did not occur. We ended up having to use a forklift to lift the back end of the vehicle and grab the cat out of there, the kitten. The cat seemed scared, but was cheered up and gave some fresh water and a tuna, and was brought to the Escambia County shelter where they took care of it. And after it's been cleared, I'm being told it's available. Bolt is available for adoption. But that's, again, another step for the sheriff's office is just trying to help everybody. We try to help kittens. We try to help the community. Someone that needs help, we're there.
And I think also definitive proof, if you ever wanted it, that filet of fish is not something that cats like. So we learned.
I don't know why, but they don't.
Commander Hobbs, always good to have you, sir. Thanks so much for the time. Thanks for what you do to serve the community. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.